Diane Robinson speaking on Reigning with Christ Now for teens. So, I'm nervous, so if I get a little balled up, you know, just bear with me. But we're going to talk about reigning with Christ now. What does that mean? Can anyone tell me what reigning with Christ means? What do you think of when you think of reigning? Not like rain pouring down, but reigning. You look like you're about to say something.
Me?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I guess doing things, like little things that mean a lot, you know?
Doing things that mean a lot?
Like, you know, good for God.
Okay. But what does it mean to reign?
Joy, ladies, a great woman leading them.
Thank you. What do you think of when you... Yeah.
Like walking with Christ.
Okay, walking with Christ. I'm looking for the simple answer. Anyone other than Mishri? No? Mishri? What do you...
Rule.
Well, who rules? Okay, you guys are thinking spiritual. Hold the spiritual down. What's the kingdom? Who rules the kingdom?
The king.
And the?
Queen.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Oh, so the king and the queen are the people ruling, right? So in a kingdom, what does it mean to rule, to reign?
Be in charge.
To be in charge. So how is it that we can be in charge when you're sitting in a classroom at school? I don't know. We're going to look at that. So first exercise, I want you to go and introduce yourself to one person that you don't know. And I want you to learn their name and what their favorite subject is in school.
What's your favorite subject in school?
No. Go get up and go meet someone new.
Can there be more than one person?
No. Just one person that you don't know. Okay, did everyone meet someone and get their favorite subject? Okay, hold on to that. If you have to write it down in your notebooks, write it down real quick. Their name and their subject. And this will come in handy later. So, reigning is a strange concept. I want us first to look at Deborah. So can you guys turn to Judges 4? You guys have your Bibles. I did not say you needed your Bibles, but great if you have them.
Where is that?
Judges. It is after Joshua.
Oh.
Remember, because Joshua judges Ruth.
Oh.
Yeah. Judges, chapter 4. Did everyone find it?
Where are Judges going to go?
We are going to Judges chapter 4. If I can go to Judges and not Ruth, that would be nice. Okay, so look at verse 4. Who's this talking about? Deborah. Was Deborah a queen? She was a prophetess. What else was she? That this book is titled. Hint, hint. A wife, but what is the book titled?
Judge.
She was a judge. So Deborah was a wife. She may have been a mother, we don't know, but she was a judge, which means to a certain extent she ruled over Israel. But this was under God's hand, and this is the important thing. When we rule now on earth, it doesn't mean that we have to be a king or a queen. It simply means walking with the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? So, what does walking with the Spirit of God mean? We go through our day, and it's a very spiritual thing to say, yes, let us walk with the Spirit of God. But that doesn't really hold much meaning unless you really understand who the Spirit is, right? Now, I'm assuming all of you are believers, yes? That you've all made that personal connection with the Lord. And when we make that personal connection, the Spirit comes and He dwells in us. And it's by that Spirit we're able to reign. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know a lot of you have heard this a lot already, and you're like, well, what does this mean? But Deborah, I always get them confused. Deborah, in this chapter, she's talking to Barak, who doesn't want to go to fight the battle by himself, and she goes with him, but she says to him that there's going to be relief from this war by another woman. Who's that woman? Do we know? Do you guys know who it is? How about looking down in verse 18? Do you guys think you have an answer? Yael. That's pronounced with a Y because there's no J's in Hebrew. So Yael. Now, Yael killed the great enemy of the people of Israel. So we look at this. The great enemy was Sisera. And Sisera was fleeing from the battle scene. And what does this say? Can someone read this for me? Verse 18. Actually, 18 through 22.
Then Yael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear." And when he had turned aside, returned to the tent, she covered him with a blanket. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you, and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say no." Then Yael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly to him, and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and buried. So he died. Mm. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Yael came out to meet him, said to him, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." When he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in the temple.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yes. Ooh, that's violent. Ooh.
Why did he do that though? Do you know?
Because he was evil.
Oh, okay.
He was, it's hard to call people evil. But he was doing evil things. He was against the people of God.
Oh, yeah.
This is the guy who was fighting against Israel.
Oh.
Okay, so if you get a chance, look back through chapter 4. It'll tell you the whole story.
Okay.
I know it's kind of random to pick it up there. But can I submit to you that in this moment, Yael was reigning with Christ. Now that's an interesting thought. She didn't have a crown. She wasn't even ruling necessarily over a whole bunch of people. But why do I say she was ruling with Christ? Well, in this, she was following the leading of the Spirit. She led him into the tent and she did away with him for just to keep it nice and simple. But that was through the leading of the Spirit that she did that. So in reigning with Christ, sometimes He tells us to do things. Sometimes when we're sensitive, we can do things maybe that we don't think we can do, or maybe that, not that I'm telling you need to drive a tent peg through someone's skull, but maybe it means that you need to not be somewhere. Maybe it means that you need to not say something at a certain time when you're being led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? So in this case, reigning with Christ came when she accepted what he said to her and did what needed to be done. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making sense. And if you have questions, please feel free to raise your hand and ask me, because I'm nervous, so I might skip over things. You look like you have a question.
Yeah.
No? Okay. So I'm submitting that Yael was ruling because she was listening to the Lord. So, there's another person who we can look at in Scripture who also reigned more practically. Can you guys turn to 1 Kings 19, 1 and 2? Mm-hmm. Now, there was a king in Israel. I'm not reading right now. There was a king in Israel who did not follow the Lord. And he took a wife who was, for lack of a better term, a pagan. She worshipped false gods, and he followed suit. And so she became kind of the head of the household. She became the head of the household. And so this guy, this king, his name is Ahab. So in verse 1 it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword." These are the prophets of Baal. These are the prophets of the idol Baal. So these are false prophets that he killed. Elijah, we all know who Elijah was, right? Mm-hmm. Elijah was a prophet of the Lord, and so he killed all of the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent, So Ahab goes back and tells Jezebel, "Oh my gosh, I mean, he killed everyone. Oh my gosh." No, he wasn't very much of a leader in his household. Okay, so Jezebel took the leadership. So Jezebel, verse 2, sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them," meaning, "I'm going to kill you by tomorrow." So Jezebel, in this situation, do you think Ahab was reigning over Israel at this point? No. Jezebel at this point is the true ruler of Israel, but she wasn't following the Spirit of the Lord. So in this case, we look at someone who actually wore the crown and had the title, but her motives were not pure. She decided to take matters into her own hands and say, "All right, well, I'm going to go against God, and I'm going to do what I want to do to make what I want happen." So it's very easy in life. I'm bringing this to us in life now. It's very easy in life for us to think, "Well, you know, I think maybe God has that wrong a little bit." Have any of you ever thought that? I know I have. I would be honest and say I have thought that. Is that a correct thought? Are we ever smarter than the Almighty God? No. No, we're not. By far. And every single time I do it, I have to go back to the Lord and I have to say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so stupid." Because I look at what's going on and I'm like, "Oh Lord, you are the only one that knew that this was going to happen." Right? Have you guys ever done that? Have you ever looked at a situation and said, "Oh, I know." Ooh, let me make this a little bit easier. Have you ever heard your parents tell you something and then you were like, "That's not the case." And then a week later, a month later, you go, "Oh, they were right." Has that ever happened to you guys? That happens to me a lot. That happens to me a lot. Even as an adult, that happens. I was at a meeting the other night with a friend, and we were sitting at the table, and his parents are working with us on a project. And someone else asked a question to my friend, and he looks across the table at his mother, and he goes, and later he said, "Did you see that look I gave my mom?" And I was like, "Yeah, what was that about?" And he says, "She told me they were going to ask that question. And I told her, no, they're not." And she looked at me exactly when they asked that question. So it happens to all of us, even when we get to be older. So don't ever be down on yourself for that. Just remember, okay, that's right, my parents have been alive a little bit longer than me, so they probably do know. And I know you get this all the time. "Well, Diane, you're not telling us anything new." Well, maybe coming from someone who's younger, who still lives in this situation with you guys. I still live with my parents. I still, you know, go to school, and I still live under their roof. And so when they tell me something, sometimes I'm like, do I really have to do that? Whoa. And when I don't, usually it comes back to bite me in the tuchus, actually. So that's a very, I'm talking to you about like a milder mannered. Jezebel was that on steroids. She was the person who said, "I know better than God and one." This is Jezebel. So, you know, you think that about your parents and you go, "Well, you know, but I'm very, you know, I don't say it out loud, or, you know, I just kind of hold it in." But sometimes if you allow that to start, where do you think that this started with Jezebel? Did she just wake up one morning all of a sudden queen and say, "Oh, I'm going to rule today. Ooh, I'm going to rule." Do you think she said that? No, probably not. It probably happened over a process. And have you all heard of Jezebel before this? Mm-hmm. Is she ever talked about as a nice, pleasant sort of person? Is she ever lauded and esteemed when you hear her? You know what that means, right? Lauded and esteemed means, oh, she's talked of very nicely and wonderfully. Have you ever heard her talked about like that? Mm-hmm. No. So this root of, well, you know, parents don't know really that much, you know, that's probably where it started for her. Probably, we don't know, we haven't ever talked to her personally, but that's probably a good idea of where it started. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and then one day she had a husband that she got married, and she said, "Okay, this is a king. You know, and no, my husband's not right, so I'm going to do what I want to do." And so she decided to take charge, right? Now, and I'm giving this to you guys in a very adult manner. I don't think of you guys as being kids. You're teens, which means you're in that transition stage. So I'm not talking to you like I would talk to kids. I'm giving you guys the real meat. So I'm hoping that you're following me and you're being okay with this. Because I know hey, tent pegs in people's brains. I don't want to necessarily talk about that with little kids. But I think you guys can handle it and are handling it. Yes? If you guys start getting squeamish, because we're about to get a little bit more squeamish, I'm giving you the heads up. Just letting you know. So let's go to Second Kings, chapter 9. Sorry, hold on 2 seconds. Okay, here we go. Let's go to verse 30. So, 2 Kings 9, verse 30. I'm sorry, I didn't write that one down exactly. So, I want you to take a minute and read what happened for yourselves. Does everyone have a Bible with them? Does everyone have something they can read? Okay. And when you can tell me exactly what has happened to her, raise your hand. I'm not going to make you tell me, just raise your hand so I know when everyone has it. She should be reading to about verse 33.
What chapter?
Chapter 9. 2 Kings, chapter 9. You're welcome. Oh, that's verse 30 through
33. Okay, go to verse 36, all the way to 36. Those of you who have it, just read on a little bit.
Three more verses. Do you guys see what happened to her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
They killed her. That's a pretty brutal way to die. And why is it that she died that way? Just from what we're talking about. And I encourage you guys, go back and read the full chapters when we're done. If you have time this afternoon while it's fresh in your head, go back and read the whole story so you get an idea of what's happening in the background. I'm just throwing snippets at you because I don't have tons and tons of time. She gets thrown from a window and is trampled underfoot by horses. Now, first of all, she's thrown from the castle wall. So it's not being thrown out of this window. Wow, okay, I'm good. Brush off the grass, stay, we're good to go. I know you have seen a castle. You have seen a castle. You and Hannah both have seen castles. No? Has anyone else seen an actual castle? Okay. So those things are real short, aren't they? Those things are massive. They are massively tall. So someone throwing her out of those windows, you'd be dead on impact. Right? So after all of that, then what happened? Was she even found anywhere? No. She's nowhere to be found. Why? Because the dogs came and ate her. So, I'm not trying to scare you guys. I know I'm kind of harping on this. But a lot of times, people make this a very, you know, you should listen to your parents and do what's right because it's good. Guys, you should listen to your parents and do what's right. Because when you don't, it leads to more, and that can be severe. That's severe. She's not found anywhere. To this day, you will not find her remains anywhere on this earth. Her DNA is probably gone and decimated. You have no record in the world except to say she was a bad person. You know, there's even some churches where they won't even speak her name because they think it's an evil spirit. Like, if someone in here was listening, they'd be like, why does she keep saying her name? That's called the J. The J. But I'm serious. If you ever hear someone talking about the J spirit, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about Jezebel. Because she was a spirit of manipulation. And that came from that I know better. Does that make sense? Did you guys know that witchcraft, really, in its basic form, is manipulation? Saying, well, I can make it happen. if you think about it, if you're like, well, I'm going to move that chair with my brain power. Well, if it actually moved, that would be manipulating something in an unnatural way. When you manipulate something, that's basically what witchcraft is doing. They're manipulating things in ways that are unnatural and ungodly. So when we look at things and we go, well, I'm going to make this happen my own way, not God's way, which is the natural way. I'm going to make this happen on my own. Then it's even as witchcraft. So dare I say Jezebel was a witch? You didn't think that there were witches in here, did you? How many of you like reading the Harry Potter books and reading the, what's the other one? I don't either, but I know a lot of people do. That stuff is real. That stuff is real. There's real witches in the world. Are you okay? Are you okay? You look like you have a question. You, T. Okay, you just look like, what? I'm sorry, just checking. And like I said, if you guys have questions, please let me know. But that's a real thing. But where does that come from? Where's that root? It's from saying, I can do it better. You know that song, anything you can do, I can do better. Well, that's a fun, catchy song. But what actually is happening is, you know, when you do that with God, you're saying, well, anything you can do, I can do better. Ooh! Well, that's basically witchcraft. That's what Jezebel is doing. And that's, I've done that when I've said, okay, God, I can do this better. Just hang out over there and I'll do it over here. That's witchcraft. And that's why we have to repent of it. That's why in the Word, when you guys start studying this for your own, and I encourage you to study the Word on your own. You guys are old enough now. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take your parents' word for it. They could be wrong. Your parents could be wrong about something in the Word. And you look at it and you go, well, that's not what the Word says about it. So what do? How do you address that? Do you go to your parents and say, hey, you were wrong? No, you take that time and you go, I found this scripture. And I feel like the Lord is telling me it means this. What do you have to say about it? Yeah.
What my dad would tell me is whenever he would tell me something in the Bible, if I asked him something, and he told me the answer in his own way, he would say, now, look that up, because I could be wrong. Because he always said that, because he's like, if I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. You don't always take my answer and use it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the reasons why there's so many dominations of churches nowadays. There's like Baptist church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church, and Catholic church, and this church, and that church. Mm-hmm. Why? Because everyone finds different pieces of scripture, and they go, well, that, what you're teaching doesn't, that's not the scripture. So it's okay that we have differences of opinion about the scripture. There are some things that I believe differently than my parents do. But I've talked to my parents about it, and I'm like, you know, I don't find that as being wrong in the Word. Or, I don't find this as being right in the Word, what we're doing. And we sit down and we talk about it, and sometimes we get into heated discussions. Well, no, because if you look at it right there in that scripture, it says this. Clearly it means this. Well, no, I don't think that. I think that what he was trying to say was blah, blah, blah. And that's okay to do with your parents. Have that dialogue with them. Have that dialogue with your youth leaders. Because sometimes it's easier to talk to your youth leaders, no? Because your youth leaders you feel like they don't judge you like your parents do, don't you? Sometimes we feel judgment from our parents and it's like, okay. And when you're younger, especially, it's like, well, you know, they're not going to listen to me. So take some of these things to your youth leaders if you don't feel comfortable talking to your parent, or if you're close to your pastor, take it to them. Because you can say, well, I'm finding this in the scripture, and I feel that this is what the Lord is telling me. And can you help me with this? Now, you also have to take that with a grain of salt, because if the Lord has really, really told you something, then hold on to that in your heart until he can confirm it for you. And if it's not confirmed, if it's never confirmed, then maybe it's time to rethink that and relook at it. Study more scripture on it. Find that confirmation in the Word. Okay? Now, here's another piece of that. We all are special in this world, but we are in a network of believers, and we consider this a family, no? So each and every one of you are my sisters. I never had a sister. I have so many sisters in this room. But each and every one of you are my sister. So when I have something that's bugging me in the Word, and I'm like, well, I just don't understand that. Well, Rachel, I'm looking at this, and it says this. What does that mean? What, have you studied this? So, tell me who your person was and what their favorite subject.
I forget her name. Sorry about the name. But her favorite subject is math.
Math. Well, what's your favorite subject? Or what's, who was your person? You. Oh. Who was your person? What was their favorite subject?
He was fine.
Math. Math. Oh, two mathers. That's great. I love this. Can't do it, but it's a good subject. I love it. What about you? Who was your person and what did they love? Okay. So, it was also what?
Math.
Do you remember her name?
Leah.
Leah? Good. What about you? Who was your person? Don't tell me
again.
Okay.
Hmm?
What's your name?
Taylor.
Taylor. Good. And what's your favorite subject?
History and math.
History and math.
Good.
Huh? Yeah, math. What kind of math people have?
Not like math.
What about you, Taylor? Who you?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name?
That's okay.
Oh, what's your favorite subject?
I think it was science.
Okay. What about you guys?
Hannah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a little... Okay, so what's her name?
What's her name?
Mm-hmm.
Hannah.
And what's her favorite subject?
Was that history or science?
History.
Yeah. History? So what's... You can give me one of their names. And
okay, I remember the Tanox, so you need to remember.
Okay.
And you like science and she likes English.
Okay, good. And what about you guys? Okay, so you tell me her name. Okay,
well that's kind of cheating. I'm sorry. I should have asked the subject.
What's your favorite subject?
Oh, one of them.
Hers.
Oh, English.
English. What's one of their names and one of their subjects?
I could never teach anymore. Okay. You like math. I do like English.
Okay. So, what was that exercise all about? So, yeah, that was kind of silly. These people in this room are part of your network. So, part of Jezebel's problem was she wasn't surrounded by the right people to say, hey, I think that you're taking this manipulation thing too far. So part of it is on her fault. You know, she can't blame that on her parents. She didn't surround herself with godly people. You all, I applaud you for being here, because that means you're surrounding yourselves with godly people and people who are studying and people who are growing. And it doesn't matter how far someone's growth is. I've been a Christian most of my life, and I don't know half the things that someone who maybe just became a Christian 3 years ago knows. But I know things that they don't know. So we bring that together, and together we learn and grow. Does that make sense? I know I'm bouncing around a whole lot, but does that make sense to you guys? When you have these networks and when you have this family, you are protected. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it comes about in life that we lose our families. My best friend lost her mother 2 years ago and her father just this past September. So she doesn't have a mom or a dad anymore. Mm-hmm. But she does. Because she's a part of the network of believers, of people who love and care about her. So when she needs that advice, or when she needs someone to come and look over her, there are people around to do that. And that's why it's so important to stay connected with people who are believers and who do want to learn and grow like you do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. You guys getting tired? Take a quick 2 second, get up and wiggle around in the Pacific Dome. Just wiggle out. 2 seconds, because we still have a couple things to get through.
Can I go use the bathroom?
No. Yes, you can go use the bathroom. Absolutely.
Thank you.
But I'm going to get started again soon, so hurry, hurry.
Have you guys already danced before?
No, we have not danced yet.
Okay. So we're after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's see, do I want to do that? Okay, so we're going to shake that a little bit. Oh, there is water if you guys need water. So, most likely, Jezebel surrounded herself with people who were also manipulative. And what's the basis of that? It's being selfish. Being selfish is the basis of being manipulative. Did you realize that? It's like, well, this is what I want. And that's being selfish. I'm very selfish a lot of times. And then I have to go back to the Lord and say, okay, I'm sorry. That was really, really selfish. And that's okay. We as people tend to be that way. We want... Are you guys okay? You guys okay? Yeah? Okay. Just talking. But we tend to be selfish by nature. So that's why it's important to be ruled by the Spirit, because the Spirit will say, okay, rethink this. Rethink this. Are you being selfish right now? Rethink this. Okay? And that's what the Spirit is there for. The Spirit is there to guide you and to help you through those times of, you know, well, am I being selfish about this right now? Or, you know, just to give you guidance. Does that make sense? I'm hoping this is all making sense. Okay. Yay. Another example from the Word, and I suggest you go there at some point, but I know we're running short on time. So I'm just going to talk about this other lady. There was another lady who was very much that person, and her husband, you didn't miss that much. Her husband said, oh my gosh, this guy won't bow to me, and, you know, what am I going to do about it? And, oh my gosh, and this lady goes, well, why don't you hang him on, why don't you build a gallows and hang him? Who's that person? Well, not being hung, who's the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Haman. Do you guys remember the story? Which story is this?
Esther.
Esther. So, most people don't remember Haman's wife's name. She's mentioned, I think, once. Zeresh. Zeresh. So Zeresh, to a certain extent, carried that same manipulation as Jezebel. Can you see that? Here's this. Her husband is coming and saying, oh, what am I going to do? Isn't that what Ahab did? Ahab did that. And so now, you guys okay? You have questions? You're good? Okay. So Ahab did that. Haman did that. And both times the wives said, well, this is what you're going to do. Let me tell you how to fix the problem. What happened to Zeresh in the end? Do you guys remember?
She got hung too.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's an awful way to die, being hung.
Yeah.
And is Zeresh ever talked about lovingly and admirably in the Word?
No.
No. you ever even hear her mention? For I know the people who celebrate Purim, you guys hear it all the time. But does anyone in here not celebrate Purim? You guys don't. Have you ever heard of Zeresh before? No. She's not talked about. So I suggest you go back and read it. That's in the book of Esther. Esther's a great book to read anyway. Yeah. Okay. Which is fine. If you don't know what Purim is, that's the celebration of Esther. But go back through the book of Esther and read about Zeresh. She's in chapter... Did I even write it down? I did not. I did. Esther 6. Esther chapter 6. So when you get a chance, read through Esther. Esther's just a good book in general. And she's a great example of a woman in the Word. But there's also another bad example of someone who was manipulative. Have you guys ever heard of a lady named Herodias? No. Well, I'll give you a hint of who her husband was. It sounds kind of like her name. She's in the New Testament. He was in the New Testament. Herodias.
Oh.
Huh? What? Yeah, but what's the name I'm getting at? Who was her husband? No mystery. Herod. Do you guys remember Herod? Herod ruled Israel, kind of, underneath the Roman Empire. And this was during the time of John the Baptist and Jesus. And so Herodias was like, you know, not really in the best situation with Herod. I'll just put it that way. And so John the Baptist said, y'all finished. That's not right. And Herodias got mad. Well, who does he think he is saying all that? Well, I'm going to show him. So Herodias, and I suggest you guys read this also. It's a very interesting story. All of these are interesting stories. Interesting case studies. Go read them. If you like good stories, Bible's full of them. But Herodias says, you know what? He doesn't need to be alive anymore. So it was Herodias that manipulated situations to eventually get John the Baptist beheaded. Now here's the kicker. Here's the kicker of this story. How many of you love your parents? How many of you love your mom? Now, if your mom asked you to do something that you knew would get someone killed, what kind of pressure would that put on you? That would be a lot. Oh my goodness, Mom! Mm-hmm. Well, Herodias told her daughter to go dance for the king. And the king liked it and said, well, I'll give you whatever you want. And she said, my mom told me that she wanted this. Okay. I want the head of John the Baptist. What kind of mother is that? She manipulated her daughter to do this. Now, that's also a process. Here she took, probably she was, you know, in a habit of manipulating situations. But could you imagine if what you were remembered for is manipulating your daughter to do something evil? That's bad. That's really bad. So this is someone who was also ruling, but not ruling by the Spirit. Does that make sense? So when we look at these people, you go, oh my goodness, there's so many people who ruled, and it's just awful. So, to turn this around, what does it mean to rule well? Well, we looked at Deborah, and we looked at Yael. Well, they were a little bit more abstract. Well, what about someone else who ruled the right way? Well, let's say there's this girl who is, you know, in a new situation. She's she's just walking along one day and gets called to this huge, let's say, science fair. And she's like, wow, I could win $1 million at this science fair. Ooh. So she goes to the science fair, and this person comes and says, oh, you have good ideas about your science project. And this person is the head of organizing all these science projects. Does this make sense to you guys? Okay. You following my story? Well, he says, well, you know what? Let's put you in the center of the room where everyone can see you. Let me give you this table that has the best setup. And I'm going to bring all the key judges by to see after you've set up everything. And you will have this great unveiling. It'll be wonderful. And this girl goes, well, you know, I that sounds good. Yeah, let's do that. So she goes and she sets up her science fair and her science project. And this guy comes back. Let's call him Jake. And Jake says, you know, maybe if we turn it this way, and can you open up the sides of your panel a little bit? And she goes, okay. And he makes little suggestions that help her along the way. And she listens and she does that. And the science fair people come along and say, oh, this is beautiful. You are our winner. That's okay. Well, this girl has aligned herself with someone who's helping her, right? Is she manipulating the situation, going in there saying, I want the best. I'm going to put the best. No. Did she do that? No. Now, this, I paraphrase the story from the Bible in this. Very big paraphrase. Or not paraphrase. What's the word I'm looking for? I restructured this story. You guys know who I'm talking about? Beauty Queen show. So she wasn't a science student, she was just a girl. And she got ushered into the palace. Esther. Wait, what? Diane, what are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Who is this person that helped her? Okay.
We have like 3 minutes. So go to Esther 2, verse 8. Esther 2, chapter 2.
When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. The harem was where the women were kept. Bless you. She pleased him. She pleased Haggai. And won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food.
Do you remember the special place to put the science project?
Just saying. Wait. He assigned to her 7 female servants, selected from the king's palace, and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. And then down to verse 15. When the turn came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now, what happened to Esther? Did he just say, oh, you're nice, next? Okay, they didn't write the book about someone who he said next about. This was someone who became queen. So, look at this in the sense of you have the example of Jezebel, right, who was queen and manipulated the situation to make things happen, right? And then you look from the standpoint of Esther,
who said, well, I will follow the leading of the person in charge, and whatever they say, I'll do. Right?
This is someone who's not queen and ended up ruling. And this was someone who was queen and ended up having a horrible end. So we look at this and we go, well, Esther didn't manipulate the situation. Huh. Esther aligned herself with people, with the person who would help her become all she needed to be. Which is why I told you guys, make those connections in here. When you leave, go talk to the person that you introduced yourself to if you don't know them. These are all our family. Each and every one of you is family. You're family to each other. I don't care if you're black, white, green, orange, and yellow with brown spots. I don't care. We're all family. So, I know I'm going over. Two more things. In this life, you have to make alliances in order to reign. The first, most important alliance is with God through His Spirit. And when we ask Jesus to be Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit, and He says, let me help you. He's our hey guy. He's the one who will say, this is what you do to be pleasing to the king. Who's the king? God. Yes. He's the king. So we align ourselves with the Spirit. You align yourself with people in the church who can mentor you. People like your youth pastors. People like your pastors. Because they love you. And most likely, they're not going to say anything to you to lead you astray intentionally, which is also why it's important for you to go and study Scripture on your own. So in case they do make a mistake, you can go back and say, well, you know, I don't think that was right, but that's okay. They were doing their best to help me. You align yourself with people in the church that you can be accountable with. You say, look, I read that in Scripture, and can you help me with that? Did you read that? And then outside of the church, you align yourself with people that the Lord selects for you. So even though they may not go to the same church you go to, there are people in this world who are supposed to align with you because they're believers. And you're a believer, and you're supposed to have that close connection with them. Does that make sense? So, Hannah and Rachel don't go to the same congregation. Do you guys don't go to the same? What? You and Hannah. This Hannah.
Oh.
You guys don't go to the same congregation. But maybe you guys are supposed to align with each other. I don't know. But that's why we have these conferences also, is to meet women who are doing like we do and who are learning like we learn. So last note, we all know that God is love, right? God is love. We're His children, right? God's the king. So we're all princesses. There's no princes in the room. We're all princesses. So we are the princesses of love. So remember that when you are ruling on this earth, it's through the leading of the Spirit, and always do it in love. Does that make sense? Okay. I have to let you go now because otherwise I'll get yelled at. But I really enjoyed talking to you guys, and I really hope to meet you, each and every one of you personally, before this conference is over, because I think all of you are special. And all of you are princesses, right? Hey, I like to align myself with royalty. All right, guys, I love you.
Be blessed.